You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
My obsession with Martha started when she posted a 48 picture slideshow on her website of refinishing her tennis courts.
To see Charlotte's review, go to Sports Illustrated Online. Now I have to get back to real work. Wow. It's the weekend. Welcome to Oddball. We made it. We made it. We made it through every day but Monday, because that's how this show works.
We sure did.
I'm Amino Hassan. That over there in our New York City studio is Charlotte Wilder. Charlotte, hell of a show today. Hell of a show. We always have these segments about so many people are hurt. Oh my God, the world is ending. You know what we're going to do? We're going to flip it. Good news today. Today's Good Friday. It's good news on this Good Friday. And by the way, you know what gospel means, right? It means good news. Wow. I said, do you know what gospel means? It means good news. All right, we got that. We got good news, people coming back from injury. We've got Draymond Green doing the equivalent of flagrantly fouling the shit out of someone and then raising their hands saying, yes, I fouled them. It was me. We'll get to his comments that he made on his podcast. Also, the Minnesota Timberwolves, not for sale, says Glenn Taylor. We've got conflicting stories between Glenn Taylor and the new group with Mark Lloyd and Alex Rodriguez. We're going to dissect and dilute everything down to its base level to let you know, even though it's not officially this segment, who's lying. But first, Charlotte.
Charlotte, yes.
So last night, great night for hoops. You got Clemson beating Arizona. You got UNC getting upended at the hands of Alabama. Iowa State and Illinois and nail biter. So many great basketball games last night. UConn just demolished San Diego State. Did anything else happen in the basketball world? I wonder. I'm trying to figure out.
I don't think so.
Did you see anything?
No, I don't think I don't think there were any NBA games that resulted in a loss that maybe should have been a win, considering the Celtics are the best team in the league playing the Hawks, who are in 10th, who have somehow managed to beat the Boston Celtics twice. They're the only team.
Twice in 1 week?
They're the only team in the NBA.
Twice in 1 week? This is...
I mean, we touched on this on Levitar, but I would like to dive in to the psychological torture that it is to be a Celtics fan right now, because it shouldn't be psychological torture. So I feel like a giant baby being like, this is very stressful. That was the most stressful game I've watched all season, because first of all, Missoula has his starting lineup in. The Hawks, three of their starters are out. Porzingis is out there. Drew Holiday's out there. Yep. Derek White is out there. Jaylen Brown is out there. Jason Tatum is out there. And they are playing hard and they are in overtime. And I am just like, Porzingis fell down at one point and I was like, cool, that's it. That's awesome. Love that that's how he's going to get hurt when they've already cinched the number one spot. So I understand. It was like the most Missoula thing ever to be like, there are shades of Tom Thibodeau to Joe Missoula where he's like, we are not giving up just because we have already clinched something.
Yeah.
And the whole point is that I'm going to leave my starters in. And it's a moral victory, except they lost.
Except they lost. And Charlotte, something very, very weird happened. So at the end of that game, you have DeJounte Murray. They're down one, I believe. He's got the ball. And they get the screen and they get the switch. And Porzingis is the guy guarding Murray and not Holiday. And you wonder why or how. And you might say, you know what? It happens. Basketball. We lost the game. But Joe Mazzulla would have you believe, Charlotte Wilder, that he did it on purpose. He did. He meant to do that, is what he said. He said, hey, we don't switch, But we know in the playoffs, we're going to need to be able to switch in late game situations. And so I'm treating the remainder of our schedule as practice time. Practice time, and we're going to practice these situations. So game in the balance, he's looking at it, he's like, oh, you know what? Guys, I know we haven't done this all year long, but I want you guys to switch. If they run a screen for Murray, switch. Porzingis, I trust you. I know you can do this. And that's how they did it. Charlotte, does that sound like a statement that makes a lot of sense?
No. So first of all, I don't believe him. Oh. I don't believe him, and I don't like that he said that, because I really don't like excuses. Just say like, yeah, you know, we lost, we messed up, we'll be better, move on. I just think it's even if he's telling the truth. So, I mean, here's the thing. Let's walk through this. Mm-hmm. If Joe Mazzulla is telling the truth, why switch there? Why not try this all game?
Or earlier, or just at certain points of the game. That is odd. That is, I mean, to his credit, what's in his corner is the Celtics have locked in the number one seed for the East, and barring an undefeated end for the Nuggets season and a Celtics complete collapse, they've locked up the number one overall seed, home court advantage, throughout the entirety of the playoffs. So really, there is nothing meaningful in these last 10 or so games for them on their schedule. So this would be a great time to get some live kind of practice of certain situations and certain matchups. That's in his corner, the argument.
I mean, as you say this, though, I'm like, that does feel like something Joe Mazzulla would do. Maybe I do believe him. There is like a little, there's that weird spark where he's like, you know what? Now would be a great time to do this one thing that we never do because it doesn't matter.
And then he does a somersault in the locker room and tells somebody, I bet you can't do that. That's a true story, by the way. I just want to point that out. I didn't make that up. He actually did that one time
also,
last year.
I do just want to say DeJounte Murray, unbelievable game. That was beautiful to watch. He said afterwards, he was like, I don't take it for granted a single day that I'm in the NBA. We are not tanking. We are trying to keep this train on the tracks.
Yes.
And I appreciated that. I thought it was sort of a beautiful moment. And the crowd in Atlanta went nuts. This was like a playoff game.
No, I mean, look, here's the deal. So a couple of things. Number one, Atlanta's pretty much in the same situation that the Heat were in last year, where you're going to be in the play-in. You're not going to get out of this play-in tournament. And so there is an understandable question from a lot of people is, why are we trying? Why don't we just pack in the tent and go to the lottery? And DeJounte Murray had a bad back. He had a sore back. He was questionable for this game, but he ended up playing because he said, look, we're trying to win. We're trying to be as good as we can and make it to the playoffs and maybe advance beyond that. Charlotte, if the Hawks were to advance out of the play-in, given the mm-hmm. current standings, if everything holds as it is today, they would advance as the 8 seed because they're in the 9 right now. They'd play the 9-10, and then they'd have to play the loser of 7-8, which means they would be the 8 seed, which means they would play the Boston Celtics. On a scale between piece of cake and DEFCON 1, where do you stand on Hawks-Celtics first round anxieties? The idea is that the Celtics are going to win, but what the anxiety, how does that feel?
Big time DEFCON 1, I mean. Jeez. I was on the couch last night, and when I realized, when I did that math, I was like, oh no. I was like, oh my God. And my husband was like, I don't think that they could win. I don't think in a best of seven series they could win. And I was like, I don't know, because we all saw what happened with the Heat last year. The Heat were not supposed to beat the Celtics there was no world in which that was supposed to happen. And we have now seen what?
They almost swept them.
You also see, I saw the Hawks just like the surge of energy. They were so fired up. Bogdanovich looked like he was about to run through a wall. Like that man, he was doing like the muscle arms. Yeah. He was like, there was such a degree of passion there. And I see the Celtics play well night after night after night, but I don't necessarily see that like intense fire. And I think that's what makes me nervous. I think it's a lot of just sort of basic, probably not valid reasons to, I'm like, why aren't you more like, Smile. I don't know. Be mad. I don't know.
Charlotte Wilder.
I'm having a come apart.
Celtics anxiety reporter.
Have you ever wondered if Chet Holmgren might be a descendant of Abraham Lincoln? Or if a UFC fighter could beat an alien in a fight? You might have not, and that's okay. But Shea Serrano and Jason Concepcion from the Six Trophies podcast have. If you love basketball, and more importantly, if you love fun, you've got to listen to Six Trophies, where Shea and Jason serve up the biggest moments from around the NBA with their brand of unbridled joy, banter, and pop culture side quests. Each week, they hand out six pop culture-themed trophies for six basketball-related activities. Stuff like the Denzel Washington in Training Day trophy, given out to the player or team having the best week around the NBA. Or the Lauryn Hill you might win some ... but you just lost one trophy for the team or player that just can't get it together. Plus, a bunch more trophies for all the good, bad, or just plain head-scratching moments around the NBA. This playoff season, you'll want to make Six Trophies your go-to companion podcast. Follow Six Trophies on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
All right, Amin, the business of sports, we love it. We love to talk about it. I vaguely understand it. You're better at math. Timberwolves owner, Glenn Taylor, majority owner, is not selling to minority owners, mm-hmm. Alex Rodriguez and Mark Laurie.
He dropped
this
that bomb.
This is a process that's...
He dropped that bomb with a press release. He didn't even leak the news. They said, look, I said it.
I'm back. There was no leakage in this situation, except in terms of their relationship, which allegedly deteriorated over the past couple of years. I think they've been trying to do this since 2021. We have had a lot of fun talking about this Timberwolves sale, talking about the private equity groups they have tried to bring in to back it. What's your read on this? Because now Glenn Taylor says he's not selling at all. So what do you think is going on here?
Okay, so to explain to the people who haven't been keeping up, like Mark Laurie and Alex Rodriguez came together and they said, we're going to buy the Timberwolves. They agreed in principle on like a multi-step plan, almost like on layaway. They bought the team on layaway, but it was play a little bit at one date and then the next date. And they have like a series of deadlines. And the last payment, which is supposed to give them the majority ownership stake, was supposed to happen this month. Now, mind you, every
$300 million, right?
Yeah, every time they make a payment, they gain a little bit more ownership. So I believe at this point they own something in the neighborhood of 40% of the team. Now, here's the problem. So typically what this setup is, we're seeing a lot more of this. There's a famous guy that you've heard of, and then there's a guy you haven't heard of. The guy that you haven't heard of is usually the guy who's fronting some amount of money. The famous guy doesn't have the money, but he's got the connections and he's the face of this operation, so to speak. Right. So they came in and Alex Rodriguez had been trying to buy several major league type teams. He tried to buy the Miami Marlins at one point and he finally settled on the Minnesota Timberwolves. So they come in. Mark Laurie fronts the money for the initial kind of down payment that got them that first stake back in 2021. And the rest was supposed to be financed. We talked about this last week on Oddball that it's like buying a house. Like no one actually pays cash unless you're Steve Ballmer. Everybody's like getting a loan and they're paying back their debtor and, you know, buying the team that way. Apparently, this is this is not my opinion. This is just what I heard, right?
Okay.
They've missed and been late on payments all the way through, right? Not every single one, but several of these payments have not come on time or not come in full until a later date. So technically, at any given point, Glenn Taylor could have been like, yo, you're in breach. And
so no. let me ask you a question real quick. They are paying Glenn Taylor?
Yes. Yes.
Essentially. Yes.
Okay. So for his majority stake, basically, right? Because there are other minority owners who are involved as well.
Yes.
I'm assuming that their stakes are still holding this situation. So anyways, so this is happening, right? And behind the scenes, we don't know anything. We don't hear anything, right? So now they need to secure the financing. Now, mind you, all the while, two things are happening. One, NBA team valuations are skyrocketing because when these guys agreed to this deal back in 2021, It was $1.5 billion. We see what the Suns went for. We see what the Hornets went for. We see what like all these teams that are getting sold, the Dallas Mavericks. It's like 1.5 for an NBA team. That's an insane, insane lock-in price. So Glenn Taylor's probably like, you got to be shit. I sold at a discount. But to make matters worse, Charlotte, the Timberwolves are great. So not only am I selling at a discount, but also I'm selling when finally, after literally 20 years, this team looks like a contending status team. So my belief is at this point, the stretch run of, hey, these final payments, Glenn Taylor is like telling his lawyers, any opportunity we get to nix this thing, make it happen. Because if I sell, I'm not going to miss out on this great run that we're having right now. But also, I'll be damned if I'm going to miss out on this great run and walk away with pennies on the dollar of what it's actually worth. So we know that there were issues with the financing. We talked about this last week, Carlyle Group, and the Carlyle Group pulled out. There are some reports that say that something in their portfolio ran afoul of the NBA standards and practices. Some people say, no. Carlyle Group was the one that pulled out. They weren't denied by the league. So they secured another financer, Dial Capital, to come in, Dial with a Y, as we talked about last week. And the final payment was due sometime at the end of this month, March. We are in the end of March right now. And it was not paid. Or we don't know. Because Glenn Taylor says in his statement, they missed payments and, you know, that's it. The deal's off. They are in breach, right? Mark Laurie and Alex Rodriguez via statement say, quote, "We are disappointed with Glenn Taylor's public statement today. We have fulfilled our obligations, have all necessary funding, and are fully committed to closing our purchase of the team as soon as the NBA completes its approval process. Glenn Taylor's statement is an unfortunate case of seller's remorse that is short-sighted and disruptive to the team and the fans during a historic winning season." Don't really believe that last part there, but
the point, fans are like, Glenn who?
Yeah, like fans don't care. They're watching the games. So here's the problem. Mm-hmm. Glenn Taylor saying, hey, they breached, guess what, deal's off. And I'm not selling it to anybody. I'm holding on to this, which goes back to my thing about the team's good. He's not going to ditch now, right? These guys are saying, well, we made the payments, so now we're waiting on the NBA approval process. I think that if I were buying something for a lot of money, and I'd already paid a lot of money, and according to them, paid all the monies, and the guy I'm buying it from says, guess what? Even though we made this deal 2 years ago, or 3 years ago, excuse me, I changed my mind. My public statement is talking about litigation.
Yeah.
I'm threatening litigation at that point. They're not doing that. Now, it could be they're not doing that because they're saying, look, the NBA approval process has started, which I'm taking their word for. I don't know if it has or hasn't, but that's what they're saying. So they're saying, I don't need to go to court because our court right here is the NBA and Adam Silver is our judge, jury, and executioner.
Right. All will be revealed when Adam Silver says no, actually. So here's a question. If this doesn't go through, if it's like, yeah, no, we're siding with Glenn Taylor here, do Laurie and Rodriguez just keep owning the minority they own?
Yes.
Or is there any way to be like, can we get our money back and go back to where we were before?
So they absolutely can continue to be minority owners. Glenn Taylor's statement said that he will continue to work with Mark, Alex, and the rest of the ownership group to ensure our teams have the necessary resources to compete at the highest levels on and off the court. So he's saying, I just because I'm not selling the last little bit that takes me out of majority ownership doesn't mean I don't want to work with these guys and I want them out of here. It just means like, hey, man, I got this from here. So they have that option. Now, they could say, to hell with that. I'm not going to stick around in a business arrangement with someone who double-crossed me. The problem is,
right,
I don't think they get interest on getting their money back.
Oh.
So they would get their money back.
Some awkward board meetings coming up.
So it's like, you get your money back, but it's like, well, hold on. This thing is worth a lot more than what I paid for it. So they're almost, it behooves them to just stick around for a couple of reasons. One, for a later date, when then they can then turn around and sell their stakes to someone else, their minority stakes, and maybe get true market value on that. Or also, you never know when Glenn Taylor might change his mind. What if Anthony Edwards at the end of like next season says, you know what, to hell with Minnesota, I want to go play for the Knicks. And this whole thing collapses. I'm pretty sure Glenn Taylor's appetite to hold on to the team would diminish by some amount if they go back to being a bad franchise again. And at that point, yeah. A-Rod and Mark Laurie might say, okay, we're almost there. All we got to do is buy a little bit more, and then it's our team again. Is it ideal? No, but it's better than like pouting and taking your ball and going home.
Hey, Seashell Capital, we need 300 mil stat.
How's Seashell spelled?
C-E-E? C-dash.
Oh.
Shell, because it's a shell company.
Got it. All right, it's Friday. We like to send everybody off to the weekend with a nice little kind of kick in the ass, a little jolt to get you going for the weekend. It's a segment we like to call Hype Me Up, or as Charlotte likes to call it,
Hype Me Up.
There it is. All right, so we're given the names of different people, different entities, and our job is to kind of uplift them because, you know, they're having a tough week, right? So, Charlotte, you going to go first?
Yes.
All right. Your person that you got to hype up is Draymond Green, who on his podcast said, quote, I deserve to be kicked out. It just can't happen. I said what I said. I deserve to be kicked out at that point. If I'm all the way honest with y'all, kind of was trying to turn my body and angle it to go to the bench, but I said what I said a little too soon before angling my body.
So, Draymond, here's the thing. You said something on your podcast after you said that. You said stuff is never as good as it seems. It's never as bad as it seems. I think sometimes things are as bad as they seem. And I think that maybe the best way that you can go forward, my dude, is think, wow, maybe this is pretty bad. And then act as if it's bad. So you have to make it good again. Because when Steve Kerr says this is unforgivable, you know how to get back in Steve's good graces. You know how to have a heart to heart. You call Steph Curry. You guys go out to the golf course. You say, look, man, this is on me. And you know what you don't do is you don't say, I was angling my back, but I said something bad anyway. Don't make excuses. This is not the time for excuses, Draymond. You are a grown ass man. You can do this. Say, I'm really sorry. I'm going to be serious. I'm not going to get myself kicked off anymore because I believe in this team. And then you're going to go out there and you're going to play the way you can. And you're going to take it to the edge, and you might get very close to that edge, but you're just not going to say that final thing that gets you kicked out 40 seconds after you started talking, because you can do this, Draymond, and I believe in you.
Tough love from Charlotte Wilder. Wow. It's a different kind of hype.
I think he might respond to that. He wouldn't, but I hope that he sees it and blows me up on his podcast. Okay, Amin. Are you ready?
Yes, I'm ready.
All right, Amin, you need to hype up doctors. We've had a lot of talk on this here show about injuries. There were a bunch of guys who were out in mid-season, and it seemed like it might be a problem for their teams. But a lot of those guys are coming back. Mitchell Robinson on the Knicks, he's back. Trae Young of the Hawks is coming back soon, which is horrible news for the Boston Celtics, but we're not going to talk about that. Nick Nurse, head coach of the 76ers, said that Joel Embiid we'll be back in the regular season, so which is soon, if that's true. Can you please, all of these medical staffs on these teams, these outside doctors, everybody's been working so hard to get these guys back into playing shape, and it seems they're coming back. Can you hype up those doctors, please?
Yeah. Okay, so this goes out to all the medical staffs. I know how it feels. Most of your life is dealing with Mrs. Kravowitz, who fell and broke her hip, and you're helping her learn how to walk again, or Mr. Tremerson over there, who, you know, is coming back off of like a reconstructive knee surgery. You know, like it's fairly middle of the road, kind of like, you know, just mundane stuff. And then all of a sudden, this 7 foot tall Adonis walks in and is like, Doc, my meniscus is, and so now all of a sudden, like, holy shit, I'm working on my favorite player, the best player on my team. And if it's Trae Young or Joel Embiid, like, these guys are huge rock stars in the cities that they play in. And, you know, if you're the PT person, you're like, I'm helping Joel Embiid learn how to walk again. I'm helping Trae Young, like, pick up things and do corrective exercises and all that stuff. and your life has this excitement. You got this cool factor. And like, honey, how was work today? How was work? Let me tell you how work was. Joel Embiid, ever hear of him? Life is awesome. But then they get better and they leave and you got to go back to Mrs. Krabowitz and Mr. Tremerson. And it's like, my life has no meaning again. It's just like I'm helping regular people. But guess what? The fact that all three of these guys, two of whom we thought would be done for the year, we thought Mitchell Robinson was done for the year. The Knicks even applied for the injury exception based on the fact he's not coming back. And Joel Embiid, meniscus surgery, we were like, well, there it goes. That's the end of his season. The fact that both of those guys, along with Trae Young, who had a pinky finger injury, and he's imminently coming back, that's testament that you guys were awesome. Dude, you know what you do now? Yeah, they're not coming in your office anymore. Hopefully you took a lot of selfies. But what you do now with all those selfies that you took every day they were coming in is you post one after every game they play and say, good to see you back out there. So then everyone knows, like, well, who are you? Like, me? I'm just the guy that taught them how to walk.
I could do my NBA city rankings.
No, I don't want your NBA city rankings. I want your top 10 cutest cities in America.
Top 10 cutest cities in America. Charleston,
five.
South Carolina.
Five.
South Carolina, New Orleans.
Mm-hmm.
What's it called? It's not Sarasota. It's called, it's near
Jacksonville?
It's Jacksonville. not any town, but it's near Sarasota. Siesta Key, Florida.
It would be hilarious if you had said Jacksonville is a cute city.
Yeah. What's the one up here? Is it Santa Barbara?
Yeah.
Santa Barbara.
Very adorable airport.
It's a bus
Santa Barbara
it's
airport.
It's a bus station.
Yeah.
And then what else would I say? Washington Heights, New York.
It's a good list. I don't have one.